Jesus said the prayer offered in faith will heal the person that is sick. Yeah. Have you ever prayed for someone and they were healed? Have you ever prayed for someone or maybe yourself and you weren't healed and you wondered, what's up? Does God love somebody else more than he loves me? It's a difficult thing to dive through. Today, we're going to talk with a man named Mike Endicott, who has been praying for people to be healed for over 2 decades, and he has literally seen thousands of people healed. And I can tell you this, he has a different way of approaching prayer and a different way of approaching healing than probably you're used to. I know it was new for me, and I can't wait for you to meet him. I am Sondra Martin Hicks. I'm also the founder of Heartstone Network, it's a digital platform where you can see testimonials, true stories, inspirational stories, things to help you become the warrior that God has called you to be in this hour, because we are indeed in the kingdom age. We'll be right back.
A number of years ago, I was walking along Lake Michigan, and without warning, I felt the Spirit of God drop in my spirit. Remember the story of King David facing Goliath? I then sensed he was telling me to pick up 5 smooth stones from the sand. Why the stones? Well, they represent the colors of people on the earth. Also, during the many years I've been a filmmaker, God has often made it clear to me that my job is to reveal his heart in the stories we tell. That's what Heartstone Network is about, revealing the heart of God to the peoples of the earth through stories.
We had to have a government official give us permission to leave with the kids so we wouldn't be accused of child trafficking.
In the meantime, our houses were being looted. Everything was being looted.
It was the hotspot of rioting and destruction in America, was 2 blocks away. When the world saw 5,000 people show up in the heart of Portland, something happened in the soul of the nation. God's flipping the script.
Hey, I'm Lance Wall now, and I'm so glad you joined me today for the world's maybe wildest Bible study, because what we're going to be doing right now is going into the Word of the Lord for the chaos of this moment.
I want to introduce you to somebody that I think can make a big difference in your life. I want to say that to you because he made a big difference in my life.
No, I didn't bring food for all these kids. I brought food for your family. I said, they are our family. I just remember John 6 and how Jesus took that little boy's lunch and just gave thanks to the Father. And I said to the kids, let's all sit down. We just started serving up these big plates and we didn't look in the pot. We just started serving the kids.
The power of the Lord will become more real and tangible to you in this class in a way that really nothing else I've experienced can make happen.
In this inspired media channel, you will find true stories of ordinary people living extraordinary lives because they're partnered with an incredible God. Our heart's desire is to encourage, prepare, and teach you to be a sphere of influence in the area God has called you to for such a time as this. Our content is free and supported by viewer donation. We're glad you're here. Come on in. I hope you will consider sharing your story with the world.
We are back with Mike Endicott, who is the founder of Jacob's Well Ministries out of Wales. So let me bring on Mike. Mike, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Listen, I heard you speak on prayer and specifically praying for people to be healed. And I got to tell you, it rocked my world. It's not like the church teaches and not like anything I've heard in all of my life.
No.
So let's just dive right in. Tell me, first of all, how long have you been praying for people to be healed?
Thank you, Sandra. I started 25 years ago, much taken with the idea that there must be a way of getting God to help us when we get in a mess. And I went on hundreds of courses, not hundreds, but an awful lot. And I learned pretty well everything that at the time the church could teach me, but all sorts of different ways of dealing with people and praying with people and loads of people. And a great friend of ours developed lung cancer, and despite throwing everything at her, she died. And I was sitting down one day in a conference I was speaking at, actually, just my prayer was, Lord, I just don't think the way the church does it works as well as we like to think it does. So how did you, would you mind telling me, Lord, how did you do it? Silence from heaven, Sandra. I didn't get an answer. But suddenly the people that came in for the next lecture was double what came in for the first one. And I dried up. I had all my theology lecture prepared, and it just went. It was blank. And I panicked prayer. Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, just tell them about Jesus. Nothing else. Just never mind your skills and your cleverness and all that you've learned. Just tell them about Jesus. And that was done in about a minute and a half, I should think. Big headline stuff. I mean, you know, Jesus healed people. Jesus is alive today. Jesus never said no to anybody. So why do we learn all these skills, you know? And then I dried up again, and I just said, well, so let's begin to pray with people. And hands up all over the place with all sorts of complaints and difficulties. And about a third of them, we think, afterwards got a significant improvement in their conditions that afternoon, which is pretty low, actually, in hindsight. It grew from there. But the real question, Sandra, was, well, hang on, what have we done? Why have we suddenly gone from a really quiet, secret, you know, done in the Lady Chapel sort of liturgical praying, all of a sudden it's happening? What is the difference? And it took us a couple of years, really, to begin to understand the difference. And now I've moved then on to teaching this to as many people as I can possibly get at. Yeah, very exciting time.
So what exactly, because normally we would say, you know, Lord, please heal Mike. Mike has lung cancer. We ask to bring your healing. So what's different? What is the secret sauce?
What is different is that, can you imagine, if I hold up the alphabet in front of you, so there's A over here and Z over here, right?
Yeah.
And A is, so there's a walk that God wants every Christian to do down here, and you start off having God in your life, and that's pretty good. That's quite exciting stuff. You can have God in your life, or you could have church in your life, and then you get God in your life, or the other way around. But God becomes part of your life, and that's really good. But as you develop your knowledge of the kingdom and your understanding of the kingdom, your understanding of the motives behind the kingdom, you come on down here. Once you get to about IJKL is the middle, isn't it, of that? Something changes. Because Z, actually, there's only one person there, and that's Jesus. That's pure, unadulterated Jesus. So you get to about here somewhere, in the middle, and you suddenly dawns on you that actually it's not so much that God is part of your life, that you become part of his. And that is a terribly exciting place to find yourself. So it's at that point that the horse gets back in front of the cart. So instead of saying, Jesus, come down off your cloud, please, and help my sister's nose, you know, or whatever it is, you get a huge realization that actually the work of the cross was totally complete. So why are we asking God to heal us? It's all set up in heaven ready. And the realization, Sandra, dawned on us that actually it's not a question of trying to get God to do stuff for us. He's not, you know, a medical servant, if you see what I mean. The real question is, how do we open up people to receive what's already actually coming at us, which largely the church hasn't realized yet, that the cross is complete, the river of God's grace is flowing all the time at us. The real problem is we've forgotten how to catch the stuff.
Well, have we forgotten or never known?
I suspect you're right. I think maybe we've never been taught it.
Because you say, The grace is always coming down.
Yes,
grace
right.
is always coming down, which means healing is always flowing, and our trust has to rise to intersect the grace.
That's absolutely right.
Well, that's great, but what does that mean, and how do I do that? Because, you know,
it isn't a trick. with a particular, it's a lifestyle. It's a life of worship and thanksgiving. Yeah. It's in the Psalms as well, actually, is that thanksgiving honors God and prepares the way for God to show us his salvation. That's in the Psalms. I mean, that's Bronze Age stuff. It's been in the Bible for many, many years. We've ignored it largely. But it's all done through thanksgiving, for knowing what happened on the cross, understanding what happened for the world on the cross, giving thanks and praise to God from the cross. What it does is it opens people's up. Yeah? That's what we found. Even if people are unconscious, it doesn't make any difference. Even if they are six-year-old children, even if they are babies who don't understand what you're talking about, in the spiritual realms, what happens is people open up to receive. And that's where the miracles sort of break out.
Well, so sorry about those technical difficulties. Technology is great, but every once in a while. But anyway, I want to continue that conversation we were having, Mike. I wanted to ask you, are there things that will stop us from getting healing?
Oh yes. The biggest one of all is our belief that God may or may not do it. Because that isn't trust.
Okay, so what about, like, when you hear about people overseas, maybe, that have followed witchcraft and stuff, and people go there and they get healed?
That's possibly because there's a cultural issue here. In the other countries, there are people who are much more spiritually aware.
Well, they have no problem believing in miracles.
They have no problem at all believing in miracles. And you go to inner cities in your country or my country, anywhere like that, where there are, you know, much less spirituality around, and they poo-poo it, and they don't believe in miracles. Very difficult. The real difficult people to see healed actually are theologians.
Really?
Oh, yes. The easiest people to see healed are the people who have no particular faith in Jesus at all. So you can introduce them to Jesus, bring them to meet Jesus, by proclaiming the goodness of the kingdom of God, which is what I do, and what I want to teach people to do. What actually happens is people get introduced to Jesus and they don't have any of the hangouts. Christians, which you alluded to earlier, we haven't been taught anything about this or about the kingdom of God. We think it's just somewhere we're going to go when we die, you know. And I was talking to one lady the other day saying, what do you understand by the kingdom? She said, I've no idea, but it must be better than this, so I'll pray for it. I mean, when it's that vague, there's no expectation of God at all. And that's what trust is. It's the expectation of God. So the second most difficult layer of people to see here are the Christians. Because they just haven't been. The worst of the lot is theologians. It's just because they've got it all worked out in their heads.
Okay, what if I think, God could never heal me because I had an affair, or I cursed God, or whatever. Would that be a hindrance?
Yes, of course it would. But what I would
do... To God or to me?
Oh, to you.
Oh, it's not to God.
It's to God, it's to you. So what I would do is actually take you through the scriptures and say, would you please tell me where Jesus refused to heal somebody because they were naughty? That doesn't happen. That's not Jesus.
Well, so, Mike, if I'm praying for myself or if I'm praying for somebody else, how do I help create this atmosphere so that the one I'm praying for will actually receive healing?
You worship God. You say thank you. Every time you feel like saying, please God, come and do this, don't. Instead of that, we just teach people, it's all done for you. It's all waiting. Blessings are being thrown permanently out of heaven. Our problem is we've forgotten to catch. How do you catch? You hold your hands up. Thank you, Father. You know, the scriptures.
So you never ask God for anything?
No. It's all done. What I know is that the cross is actually a completed work. It's a finished job. It covers everything. Having identified through hard work, actually, looking through the scriptures to find out what actually happens on the cross, what I've found is that what Jesus achieved there has covered completely every single circumstance that I've been involved in and prayed with over the last 23 years.
Wow.
And without exception, every single one.
So even if you were going to, like, let's say you were preparing a sermon, people will always say, you know, Lord, help me write this sermon. Help me do it. How would you pray that?
I don't. It's not a specific prayer. You see what I'm saying? Once you begin to walk in the kingdom of God, so you get to your IJK sort of in the alphabet. Once you get past there, you are just in communication. Because prayer is not a question of me talking to God. Prayer is really a question of allowing God to talk to me.
Okay.
So if I sit down trying to prepare a sermon, I say, can you let me know, Lord, what you want me to say? And I switch off then and go about whatever I'm going about. And suddenly these ideas will pop in my head, and that's what I go for. Sometimes I disagree with God, but he smiles at me and says, no, Bible, come on.
Okay, so I have friends that I'm praying for now that have cancer. And I have been praying for several years, Lord, tell me how to pray for that person. But that's not the right prayer. Is that right?
I think that's right, because, you know, if Jesus on the cross has taken all our pain and all our sufferings and by his wounds were healed, mm-hmm. So why are we asking Jesus to get on the cross again and do it again for us? It's all done. What have I got for you? Psalm 46 verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, where the Most High dwells. The river of grace flowing down the middle of the street in heaven. In the Revelation book, you know, underneath the tree with the leaves for the healing of the nations. And it's because of the cross that flows into the world now. It's our job to swim in it, not to try and get the river to flow.
So it's handicap to not receiving healing. It's just simply that I don't believe it's going to happen?
That's why people in the scriptures say, I do believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Because, can I explain that?
Yes.
It's like, when I say grace is descending all the time, and it meets rising trust, rising faith, if you like, coming up like that. It's where they meet in the middle of the kingdom breaks out. So I like this to motor vehicles, to cars, right? Because what Christians do in prayer terms is they're going to go to work in the morning, so they go out of the house, they get in the car, they get ready, they got the keys in the ignition, you phone up the broadcasting company, and you say, right, I'm ready to go now. You can start broadcasting so I can listen as I drive. Well, you don't, do you? Because the broadcasting companies go in all the time. Your job is to get your antenna up so that you can pick up the signals, right? Now, those of us who are very old remember telescopic antennas.
Oh, the rabbit ears. We call them rabbit ears.
Well, all right. They came out of the side of the car, didn't they? Yeah. Out of the hood. You just pull them up.
Yeah.
Really rich people had, it came up
automatically. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
Cadillacs.
You arrived if you got one of those. The thing is, you see, if you don't pull it out, you won't pick up the signal. If you leave that pushed down, yeah? Now, what happens is you've got two forces going on. You've got your trust in the Lord Jesus, which pushes your aerial up, yeah, like uh-huh. this. But then if you start thinking, oh yeah, but I did this when I was 17, and everybody tells me I got to forgive everybody before I healed, and all that sort of stuff. What it does is it pulls it back down again.
Yeah,
right. And but the end result is it's got to stick up out of the metalwork of your car, the size of a mustard seed. That's all it's got to do. So that's whenever I work with people, my entire life is spent telling people the good news of the kingdom of God, which is how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Mm-hmm. He said, just go and proclaim the kingdom. He'll say, so what I do is, never mind your own skill, never mind how you pray, just tell them about the good news of the kingdom of God and back off. Take your own skills out of God's way.
In scripture, people would say, what did this person do, Jesus, if they became sick, who sinned? Rebuff that. But so people are still doing that today. Well,
yes.
You're not going to get healed unless you get delivered, or you pray for forgiveness, or you let go of sin.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. There's such condemnation.
Absolutely.
But if that's the case, if you get sick from illness, I mean from sin, we should all be sick. And if you get healed, if you've forgiven everybody that ever upset you, none of us would get healed. Because I promise you, we all have unforgiveness. We may not be aware of it, but there's somebody I haven't forgiven.
That's right. Yeah. A lot's gone in your life, yeah. which you've probably forgotten anyway.
You know, I was on a trip working on a film in Uganda in 2017, and I was hit in the room. And there was lots of people praying for me, but when I finally came conscious, I knew I had internal bleeding, and I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it home or not. Totally up to you. And then I just believed. I mean, there was nothing in me that said I wasn't supposed to live. I felt like I had not finished the work he had called me to do. I just felt I was supposed to live, and that he was going to help me. I mean, I was rock solid. So what would happen is that my leg was all swollen up, and they said, oh, our leg's broken, we're taking an x-ray. By the time I'd come back, it'd be normal. And this happened one thing after another.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been thinking a lot about what you said and wondering if that particular time of my life, I was rock solid 100%. I was going to be healed. But not like I've lived with a bad back all my life. I think I have this doubt that I'm never going to be healed.
Yeah.
And I haven't been. But, you know, this idea, the Bible says that God is love. He died by his stripes, we are healed. Ask anything in my name. You go through all these scriptures. And when you pray and you don't get healed or somebody doesn't get healed, we start thinking, well, the Bible's not really true or, you know, or whatever. And what you said so resonates with me because I believe God is true.
And in the background somewhere, you see, of all that kind of failure, there's doubt.
Yes.
Of some kind, maybe taught that, as you say. I'm amazed by, frankly, the number of deep spiritual people who write books on this subject that you must forgive before God can heal you.
Yeah.
I cannot find Jesus ever saying that to anybody, so I don't.
Yeah, but you know what this does? Mike, what you're saying, your way of, because you've seen thousands of people healed, right?
Yes.
Thousands.
Yes.
Well, it puts the responsibility on me, on us. See, instead of just sitting here just waiting for God to do, we've got to work. Yes. We've got to get in there. And it's not just about believing Jesus is the Savior, right?
That's right.
About having a very close friendship.
Absolutely right.
See, that's the ticket.
You got it.
That's what I think people are not understanding. It's not just, believe Jesus. I am a Christian. It's more than that.
Yeah.
It's staking your life on it.
Because you don't get healed because you believe Jesus was a healer. Jesus is alive still, so why can't he come here and do it?
Yeah.
You get healed because you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. It's a relationship issue.
Yeah.
And you can work that into people with proclamation.
Awesome.
But the spiritual power of this is extraordinary.
Okay. We're going to pick that up. We've got to go to a break, and we're going to be right back and hear more about how to pray effectively for people.
We are back with Mike Endicott talking about prayer for healing and a way to pray to see results. Mike, give us some stories.
Oh, well, yeah, I've been thinking about that. There's so many, it's difficult to pick ones out that mean anything, except the ones that I think are terrific fun. And the one that strikes me was a while ago now where a guy called in the office and he was in deep trouble with ready for amputation of in a couple of days time from, you know, with gangrene set in for as a diabetes thing, you know. So the man could hardly stand. I mean, he was limping very badly. It was too painful to put his foot on the ground. He was really, and he came in, he sat down. I wasn't there at the time in the office, but this was a member of staff was sitting down with him. And he said, look, and I'm not a Christian or anything like that, but I'm last shot. Can you stop this pain? Do you people know how to do this? So what she did was she didn't promise him anything, tell him anything, diagnose anything like that at all, or you know, try and work out what might be behind it and all this. She just told him about Jesus and the kingdom of God, because that's what Jesus is really, the king. So, and as they talked to him, he was huffing and puffing a bit, wow. And he'd taken the strapping off his leg, the bandages, and she told me afterwards it smelt was horrid. But as she talked to him about Jesus, you could actually see the pink bit of the leg going down and down and down as the blackness retreated, yeah?
Wow.
And the smell died down and died down. And in the space of about 3 or 4 minutes, the whole thing had cleared. And he I think they sprayed around the office, but he got to walk around quite happily without anything wrong with his leg at all. Yeah, wow. I mean, that's fantastic. So I then thought at the end of that, well, not the end really, I was happened to be on the phone to a pastor friend of mine in the United States and told him what had happened. And she said, oh, that's interesting, because she had a parishioner who was in hospital waiting to have a foot amputated for exactly the same reason. I'm going now, she said, and jumped in the car and shot to the hospital, sat with this lady and did exactly the same thing. Never asked God to do anything because it's all done. What she did was she proclaimed to this lady the good news of the nearness of the kingdom of God, which is exactly what Jesus trained his disciples to do. And that afternoon, along came the surgeon to pre-check just before operation. So took one look at her foot and said, I'm not going to cut that off. That's perfect. That's in tremendous condition.
Wow.
Wow. So that's not the end of it, because in fact, last week, one of our colleagues who works in a community center, you know, had somebody came in who had some toes amputated already for exactly the same reason, you know, the diabetes gangrene thing, and had terrific trouble walking and standing on it. You know, the residual pain that stays in the nervous system after you've lost a limb. And it was absolute agony, this poor young, oh, I know, he can't have been, mid-20s, I suppose. Absolute agony he was. So, you know, he said, well, can you pray for my toes? He said, well, you haven't got any. And they said, but it's agony. So they did exactly the same thing in that community center. They didn't ask God to do anything because he's done it all. It's the cross. It's complete work. What they did was they praised him in thanksgiving for doing it, done. And the pain completely left him. He hadn't been able to walk for about 2 or 3 months. And the pain completely left him immediately, and he just walked out of there. And I had an email the other day to say he's perhaps he's super, he's fine, he's called in. Now, whether he'll actually ever become a Christian or not, I don't know. But that's not the point, really. The point is that we're trying to train people to speak out the good news of the kingdom and let God do what God wants to do with that message.
Well, now, I heard you say the other day that you have seen a few people raised from the dead. Is that right?
Only four.
Only four.
Well, yeah.
That is four more than I've seen. So now that person obviously is not exhibiting faith because they're not there. So how's that working?
Oh, it does. I don't, do you know something? I don't know. But I can give you I can give you a near-death experience which might explain my worry better. And that is, we have one of my elders is a hospital chaplain, and she was called into a children's hospital where there was a 5-year-old boy, who's for some reasons I don't know medically, the internal organs were shutting down, you know what I mean, the livers and the kidneys all shutting down. And he wasn't going to last the night. So they'd called Mum. Mum was sitting there by the bedside. So the hospital chaplain went in. And you could think of all the things that a hospital chaplain might or might not say or do. The child's lying there in a coma, right? So you've got a 5-year-old boy in a coma at this point, with the doctor saying, stick with it, Mum, because you're saying goodbye. Okay, he's going. The hospital chaplain said, would you excuse me a minute, went around the other side of the bed and whispered in this young man's ear. And what she whispered was the good news of the nearness of the kingdom of God. That's all she did. And she left because it was the end of shift. You know what I mean? She didn't want to go to bed and sleep. So it was her first port of call. The next morning she came in, and that boy was sitting up in bed playing games with his mum. Now that is a regular thing. I've had so many reports of people we've trained praying with friends under the knife in an operating theater who they're going to try and save from, you know, orange-sized tumors and things. and they've dug in there and they can't find the tumor. So you know, I don't know what it is, Sondra. Is the word I have to tell you? But the fact that they are dead or dying makes, or whether they can understand you or not. I've prayed with people like this who don't speak a word of English, and they still get healed. I don't understand it. But what I know is that Scripture says that the message of the cross, which is what I'm talking about, is foolishness to those who are perishing. Yeah. But for those who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power of God lies in this message. I can't train enough people to do it.
I've also heard that I've heard of a few people that have been supernaturally saved or healed.
Yep.
Or I'm sorry, supernaturally healed.
Yep.
And then they lose their healing.
Yeah.
Do you have any stories of that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. There's always a reason for it. Yes, I can. A lady, I was doing a healing service in a Quaker house, actually. Not that's got anything to do with it, but it was. And there was a lady who came in a wheelchair bought by a nurse. She was in full-time care. She had one of these muscular wasting diseases. I don't know which one, very advanced. So she was in the wheelchair and she just looked like a sack of porridge. Do you know what I mean? She was and dribbling. And her mouth, chin was down on her chest. She'd lost the sight and lost her hearing. And there was no muscular strength at all. I didn't know. I just blessed her. And there you go. So, you know, just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and being more specific than that about what he's done. So he gets lots of praise and lots of glory. At the end of the service, somebody came and got me, said, come and look at this, Mike. I went to the back of the chapel, right to the back, and there was this lady standing behind her wheelchair with her arms in the air, singing the words of the choruses from the the screen right at the other end. So her sight had restored. She was in tune and singing, so her hearing was okay. You know what I mean? And in fact, she was on the church door saying goodnight to everybody when they left. Then at the end of the show, she went back, and the next day, the nurse came along with her suitcase, started to pack her clothes up, and she said, what are you doing? I said, well, you don't need us anymore. You're fit as a fiddle. The doctor's passed you fit. You can go now, and, well, I haven't got anywhere to go. He said, yes, you have. We've contacted your ex-son-in-law, and he says he's very happy to have you stay with him. He's got a, like a, I don't know what you'd call it in America, but a granny flat, you know, on the back of the house. You're very welcome to have that. She said, there's no way I am going to go and live with that horrid man ever again. I don't want anything to do with him. He's absolutely horrible. The thing, you should have seen the way he treated my daughter. And she lost it just like that. The whole lot went.
You're kidding.
No.
She drew her muscular
disease.
Yeah,
the whole lot came back just like that.
Ah.
But sometimes
it's not that disastrous. I was praying in a convent. I wasn't. Some nuns standing next to me. But I just had a teaching session on all this, and standing next to me, and she had been disfigured at birth. She had a short leg, a tiny foot on one end, but she had it packed out, the shoe packed out with polystyrene blocks, so she could wear the same size shoes. You know what I mean? Young lady, and this side of her face was a good inch lower than that side. Had been all her life. And as these nuns were proclaiming to her the good news of the kingdom of God, all that came right. She actually yelled because her foot was growing and banging up against the polystyrene block in the shoe, and it was agony. She had to kick her shoes off. And up came the side of her face, and the nuns said, oh my, yeah, she could say she's absolutely beautiful. She went to leave afterwards. She got down to the threshold of the front door and lost it completely.
Lost her healing.
Yeah. She went straight back where she was, and they asked me to go and see her, and a lot of people fussing about, and I said, please leave, you know. And I went to her, I said, what's happened, Lovey? And she said, well, I got to the front door, I saw my car in the car park, the parking lot, and then that means I'm going home. Now, she said, I need to tell you that 3 months ago, I married the most wonderful man in the universe, and he loved me for what I am, and I don't want to lose it. And all I could do was bless her. because she knew what was important in her life. Yeah. So, it doesn't, you know, there are reasons.
So explain that, though. If it's not about anything we've done, it's all about Jesus. I mean, in that moment, thinking about her husband, or does that mean she lost her faith, or what does
that
mean?
No, it just means she'd throw off the healing.
You throw it off, don't you? Can you imagine you're standing there and I'm throwing you a tennis ball? If it's too hot for you, what do you do with it? You let go quick, don't you? It's a bit like that. You can very often, actually, surprisingly often, people want to be better. They want to get well, and the Lord is dealing with them, and they're getting stronger and stronger. And suddenly they realize that means they've got to go back and go back to the job they hate, or go, you know what I mean, or go back and live with somebody in marriage that's been mistreating them all their lives, or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And what they do deep down inside somewhere is that this tennis ball is too hot. And
you know what might be most helpful right now to teach people exactly what you're talking about? What if we were to pray? Like, there's lots of people out here that need to be healed. Could you just pray for people that need to be healed right now?
Yes.
Of course I do. I would. But can I say that what I really want to do is to involve people themselves in doing this for other people.
Yes.
So I've just launched this last Saturday, actually. Can I advertise all right on this show?
Yes, of course.
A week ago, I launched a worldwide project, which you find on my website, which I think will come up.
Tell us your website.
It's wobble wobble. No, that's not right. www.ojw, which stands for the Order of Jacob's Well, which is my lot. OJW, www.ojw.org.uk. Now, if you look at the front page, there's something called the Kingdom Adventure.
Yes.
That's not a course, right? It's a way where you can get involved, and we can get involved with you and walk steadily through this so that you come from a place where God is just there to do things for you, which is where most Christians are, funnily enough, to a place where you are walking with Jesus in the world and doing what he wants to do. And you'll find, as the seesaw swings the other way, you know what I mean? As you get, as that break point comes in the middle somewhere, and you're walking along, but it's a small group thing, so you can get to practice.
Yes, what is that quote, Ben Franklin's quote?
Oh yeah, this is, I generally just learned this, it's really, really good. Benjamin Franklin said, tell me and I forget, teach me and I remember, involve me and I will learn. And that's where I want people to feel comfortable working in partnership with Jesus, rather than going about daily life as is, you know, and just say, oh, we need Jesus. Yeah, come on, God, get down here and help, which is normal Christian praying.
One way I think we can learn, Mike, is by hearing you pray and seeing exactly what you're talking about, praying the kingdom of God. So I can learn how to do
this. This is all part of just one, because it's all done. As far as I know, the cross is complete. It's finished completely, okay?
Yeah.
So I, if you're listening and there is something in you, oh, I tell you what, if it's somebody in your family, they're actually with you now because they're sitting in your heart, okay? So whether it's you yourself that needs something or just sit there and enjoy yourself, but know that family and friends are in your heart, so you're all here, yeah? Okay, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, got your seatbelt on. Here we go. Father, bless you and thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that when you painted the picture of creation in the Garden of Eden, you drew a blueprint of how you wanted the world to be. And in there is no sickness, there is no pain, there is no lousy relationships. There's no stress and strains, there's no upset. And there's a beautiful relationship with you, Father, as mankind walks with you in the cool of the day, just to talk things over. which is wonderful. And that's, but unfortunately, Adam messed up. So we have had to leave paradise. We've had to leave that world that you thought was very good. So whatever it is that you might be wrong with you, or that you might not bring in your life, yeah, whatever that is, you won't find it in the Garden of Eden. And God said, that's very good. So that's what he wants. So I thank you, Father, that as we, the end of the Bible, the last chapter, but Jesus coming back, says there will be no more sickness and no more tears. It's just about that's the problem. You're gone. So we bless you, Father, for sending Jesus somewhere between those two events. You sent Jesus. And Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. What Jesus did and what he said was only what you do and what you say. Jesus healed everybody who came to ask him with a mustard seed of faith, mustard seed of trust in you. Healed them all, came to him. And then he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So it must be God's will in the kingdom to see healed everybody who comes to Jesus. So we bless you and thank you, Jesus, that you never said no. You never said wait. You never said come back on Sunday. You never said, well, you've got to forgive people. You never said that I can't hear you because you don't go to church enough. You never said, you never even said, are you a Christian? You never said anything like that, Lord. You just said yes, and you're the perfect image of the invisible God. So I praise you that in the kingdom of God, we have the God of yes, not the God of maybe or the God of we hope for. So it's the God of yes. So I thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice instead of us, our death. I thank you that you have taken all our pain, carried all our sickness, and by your wounds we're healed. By your wounds we're healed. And because of what you did on the cross, you know, Father, bless your heart, there is in front of your throne in heaven a sea, a glassy sea, and it's full of grace. And at your son Jesus' death, the completion of his cure for the world, that lake broke its banks, and now it flows down the middle of the street in heaven, the river of life. And it flows underneath the tree with the healing of the nations. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God where the Most High dwells. Bless you and thank you for the river of life that flows into this world. The door's now open. There is an open heaven. The curtain was torn in two in the temple. So there's an open heaven over the whole world, including me and including anybody who's praying with me right now. Bless you, Jesus. You have taken all our pain. You have carried all our sickness. By your wounds we're healed. Praise you and thank you for the kingdom and for its nearness and the motivations to heal the world. Bless you, Lord. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And that's it. The words are not important. It's your relationship in thanksgiving with God, which is all important. Walk with me on my kingdom adventure, and you can discover all that for yourself.
Well, I think what we have to remember in this, Mike, is that Jesus never said no.
That's right.
He never said no.
Nope.
He never said, now when you go and get your sins straightened up, I'll show you.
That's right.
He never said, you know, get over being angry.
That's
right. He never said that.
Nope.
He always said yes. Even when the people came, when he said, I'm not like the woman, he said, will you heal my daughter? And he says, well, but I'm not, that's not right. I'm supposed to come to, you know, the house of Israel first.
Yes, yes.
And he healed her too. Anytime somebody had faith, it made him so happy. He said, you got what you asked for.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing I keep focusing on. Jesus never said no.
No.
As I'm learning to pray this way, I say, Jesus said no. Jesus never said no. Jesus never said no.
So, that's right. Absolutely. Well, and Jesus is alive, just in case you're worrying about that.
Thank you so much for everything you've taught us today. You can watch us on our website.
So join us at heartstonenetwork.com and you can get a replay of this show.